This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast! I am Sal, I'm going to be your host today, because I'm talking about the High Republic comics. I like comic books, I like reading comics. So, right now is phase two of the High Republic, and I have with me another guest who reads comics. I have Alice from Force Toast.
Yay, thanks for having me. I haven't done a guest spot in probably years, and I don't know when the last time I did one without Laura was.
How is it? How is it so far? Does it feel awesome? Are you being treated well by the people in our green room?
Yeah. You know, this is great. Apart from my laptop hating on me, I must just be jealous, clearly.
Right. They sent a car for you and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Got the free water bottles, got the little lifesaver mats, good to go. Winter green.
Like a little gold, like for light and life on your pillow or whatever.
Yeah, it's embroidered.
Spared no expense.
Yes.
Awesome. Welcome. Glad to have you. You haven't been on the show before. We talk about Star Wars usually. It's kind of our deal.
Okay, I can handle that. So, yeah, I think I got it.
Yeah, I heard you guys have like a show where you guys were like also talking about Star Wars. And like,
just a bit.
You know, Yellow Jackets, which I'm currently getting into. So
Buzz, welcome to the Hive, Citizen Detective.
Yeah, 5 episodes in, ready to rock. Because they just showed up on like Peacock or whatever. So I'm like, well, I got to get that in.
Nice. Welcome.
But yeah. So, Force Toast. Podcast. I find it so like refreshing and fun when like it's really hard to find another. Like there's so many Star Wars podcasts, but then like once you're like, oh, I want to like look at book podcasts, there's like way less comics, way less. So like it's really cool. Like I like finding other podcasts that are fun and also cover more things than just the TV shows. So I'm just saying, I appreciate y'all.
Oh, thank you. We love reading.
Yay.
And the High Republic is just so good. The comics are so good. I know we're getting there. But I think the High Republic is one of the few things that the fandom is like pretty united on being awesome, which you don't see too much nowadays.
Yeah. Like, and I think it's also like a good, like, you know, like it's almost like a, you know, like a cover charge. Like, you're kind of like, you know, like, you got to invest some time to get all up and caught up into the High Republic. So, you know, like, people that aren't, that just want to make YouTube videos for nothing about nothing. Like, it's a lot harder to get invested in the High Republic because they have no idea what they're talking about.
They're just like, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? They're like, I saw a picture of a rock somewhere. This has got to be lame. And people who read the actual thing are like, sir, no disrespect, that rock could take you down.
Right? I was just telling my friend the other day, I was like, yo, he was all down on the TV shows. And I'm like, listen, you've got to read The High Republic, order Light of the Jedi right now. Somehow they even managed to make like plants has villains work. How? Yeah. Don't know, but it does.
I love the idea of just like it's always hard to... Like, I'm super old school, so I'm, like, from the Legends days, where every bad guy was like a bad guy with a lightsaber. You know what I mean? Like the enemies of Jedi is evil Jedi or Sith, or you know, like it's always that. So
for sure.
or it's another Death Star type machine.
Mm-hmm.
So like the idea of finding enemies for the Jedi that can be a credible threat, yet like not just be a bad Jedi, I really like and respect that. Like that's why I kind of always respected like Thrawn as an enemy. Like, oh, he's just really good at this. Like he can kind of be a threat to them without just being another dark guy with a Jedi with Force Lightning or whatever.
Nice. Yeah, I never thought about that. Flash didn't know that because I'm not up to speed on Legends.
Yeah, in Legends, that's what it always was. It was like, oh, these long-lost, like, Sith are here now. Now they have, like, Force Lightning and they're going to, you know, or, oh, no, this is even worse than the Death Star. It's a bigger Death Star. Or it's a Death Star gun that's, like, only the gun part of the Death Star that the Hutts got control of somehow. It's pretty rad.
It's a Russian nesting Death Star.
Yeah,
inside of a Death Star.
This is a Death Star that blows up a sun, and therefore it takes out the whole solar system. Wow, it's like that. Let's see, maybe to do the math, that is 8 times worse. You know, so like, I really like the idea that plants, like, why are they dangerous? Oh, because you can cut them in half with a lightsaber, and then there's two plants. Like that makes sense to me. That's kind of cool. Why are these like Nile dangerous? Oh, because like they have poison gas that kind of trips you out, and there's a lot of them, and then they also have these creatures that are nightmares.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chaotic evil. Yeah.
Good times. Great. Real quick, where can people find you on the interwebs?
All right. So I am one half of Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour podcast. Hey, Toasters. So we are on Twitter and Instagram, Force Toast Pod. I am on Twitter. I don't use it very much, but it is Leia all day, Leia with an S. And then my co-host, Laura, is out and about a whole lot more than I am. She's shut_up_Laura. So we have a lot of fun. I think we use Twitter the most, but we're slowly shifting more Instagram. Social media is hard.
Yeah. Especially like right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming increasingly nonsense because I'm like, hey, what's up, blue sky? What y'all doing in here? It's like just walking into 17 rooms and just being like, by the way, we're here. Anyway, here's a link.
Hello?
Hey, what's up? All right, later. Checking on y'all tomorrow. Good night.
For sure.
Speaking of being chronically online, you can check us out at theroguerebels.com. We have a Facebook page. Go and like it. We are at The Rogue Rebels on Instagram, TikTok, Hive, now Blue Sky, Threads, everywhere. And then Rogue Rebels fam on Twitter because of, you know, some jerk who's been sitting on it for like 12 years. Yeah, that's about it. Lizzie is over on the Star Wars Geek Girl podcast. Make sure you guys are checking that out because, you know, like the old thing, they've been doing it for like a long time. But, you know, it was like, listen to these two, like, you know, these two like teenage girls talking about Star Wars. But, you know, my daughter just turned 21, so.
Oh my gosh. Time has flown.
Yes, that doesn't exactly. Like, in theory, she can force toast with you. I don't like the idea, but it's possible. Or legal, I should say, I guess. Anyway, let's change the subject real quick. You know, give us 5 stars on Spotify or everywhere or whatever. Review, share, whatever. Do those things. Help spread this podcast. If you like Star Wars comic books and want to hear more talking about the High Republic, I got a High Republic Spotify playlist. Maybe I'll share it. Maybe go check out our playlists. Maybe go check out our socials. All kinds of things are happening over there. Pictures of us in cosplay. Because that's how we roll.
And especially it's always now. Amazing.
Yeah, we're getting excited, you know. As you know, we are a Star Wars Rebels family. And it, you know, I don't know if you've been like keeping up on Star Wars news, but it seems like people are all of a sudden a little bit more interested in Rebels these days.
Oh, imagine that.
Some resurgent interest in the little old cartoon.
So cool. I'm so happy for y'all. I mean, I can't imagine how pumped you are.
I'm super pumped. I mean, obviously I'm dead, but you know, still rad. Super rad. The kids pretty jazzed. And also like just seeing like things translate to live action character, like Sabine, Ezra, Hera, I like Hera's jacket a lot. I like Sabine's like little help. Like they just dropped a trailer and I'm over here looking at costume pieces that are like, that's pretty rad. I actually like the, what's her name? Shin Hati, like the dark side girl with bangs. She has a pretty rad.
Her haircut is bomb.
But there's like a rad little, her little gray, their little gray and robed, like a dark, like canon darksiders, rarer than you would think, you know? Like, if you really go into canon, you got like, Ventress, you got Dooku, you got, like, everybody in the movies, and then Ventress. And then, like, you know, if you read Shadow of the Sith, you got, I can't remember the girl, name of the girl who wears the mask, but it starts with a K, I'm pretty sure. Rad, but,
I think
like...
that's what I haven't read.
Oh, it's actually really good. Let me tell you how good this book is. It makes you want to go and rewatch Rise of Skywalker. Because there's lots of little like connective tissue that adds context to things in Rise of Skywalker. That's my pitch.
All right.
Very interesting.
I have it. I just didn't get around to it because I've had a pretty wild past 2 years.
Fair. Fair. Who hasn't?
Yeah, true.
You know? Well, I mean, maybe people who live in other countries, it might be a little bit easier, but hey. Hey. Anyway. Let's see. What's going on with you? What do you think? I mean, you're watching trailers. Are you like, are you guys pumped for another Star Wars show? Are you?
Yeah. So we are currently doing a Rebels rewatch because there has not been much news this summer. And we were like, well, let's just do bonus episodes because haven't done those since Clone Wars came back.
Nice.
So we're doing an episode a season and it's a somewhat abbreviated list. I found, I Googled required Rebels episodes and some dude named David has a website where he gave a list.
I've listened to this
and
episode.
I'm like, oh yeah, this is a good idea.
Shout out David.
Yeah, thanks D. Whoever you are.
So I know,
so,
like,
yeah, that's been keeping us pretty busy and we're, you know, we're up to the, or we're getting up to speed with the books, Rise of the Red Blade. I think we can talk about it now. I haven't finished it, but it is amazing.
I have, and I like it a lot. Like, I don't know how you, like, for me, Delilah does not miss.
100%.
Phasma is amazing. Black Spire is amazing. So, to me, it wasn't a surprise that this book was also really, really good. I'm actually getting my review together. So it can be ready next week because the book comes out, drops next week. And I'm also trying to get my hands on one of those San Diego Comic-Con exclusives.
Oh, nice. I'm excited to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good book. Very much enjoyed it. Let's see what else we got going on. Phase 3. They've dropped a lot of the Phase 3 stuff. I think they're like, what is it? Eye of Darkness or the first like Del Rey novel. They just released the cover. And I think San Diego is going to have a little more reveals. So hopefully we'll have a lot more on that end. But
yeah, it sounds like it. I watched the High Republic show, Christina Ariel. I watched her little snippet today and I was so excited about Buriaga Lives.
Yes.
I was optimistic about it the entire time. I just knew there was no way they'd have to kill him off. And I still think that that Wookiee they show in the Acolyte, like, those few little snippets of footage where there's a Wookiee. I've been convinced that's Burry.
You think it might be like Jedi Master Burry?
Yeah, 100%.
What did they say? They had a name for him. I forgot what
yeah,
they...
Yeah, that
but
doesn't
they,
mean
yeah,
anything.
That's true. I mean, they could just be like, psych!
Right?
Boom, Vernestra and Burry.
Hat.
Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Vernestra and Burry.
Exactly.
And Yariel Poof. Bring your... Like, Yariel Poof's in the books, y'all. Yariel Poof, Yaddle, I think, oh God, what is the guy's name? Master, the like snake kind of dude with four arms and a beard.
Oh.
Forgot his name, but he's in one of the books too.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about things that I want to see in The Acolyte. Carrie Ann Moss.
Can't wait. Yes.
I watched Young Jedi Adventures, by the way. I don't know if you took the time to dig into this child's cartoon. But
I tried.
Like, look, music, little kids, like the texture on their little lights, on their little Jedi robes and stuff. Animation is killer. Nubs is adorable. Live action Nubs win. Put Nubs in the accolade.
He is so precious. But I really wanted to watch all of it and really like it. Mm-hmm. But once I got into how long the episodes were, I just couldn't do it. I thought it was going to be more Forces of Destiny, like little snippets.
To be fair, you could like cut them in half because every episode is like, it's almost like it's two episodes.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if you wanted to, you could like knock at them out in 10 minutes at a time. But yeah, it is
maybe one day I'll try again.
For little ones. We had a fun episode where we had Eric Strathers and his family, the cast of Dinner with the Healers on to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like they're like the perfect age group for it. You know what I mean? Turns out my kids are way too old. Like, I'm like Yoda over here. My kids are too old to enjoy this. They watched it though. They had fun.
I'll have to keep it on my list to pick it back up because we're going to have a lot of MCTV time with this writer's strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pay people. Just pay them. Billionaires. Just like get rid of 1 billion. You'll be fine. Calm down, everybody. Anyway, let's see. What else is going on? Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con's coming up. Ahsoka's coming in like a month. A Rebels rewatch, you say? What an interesting idea. Maybe stay tuned to our upcoming episodes. But we're not here to talk about Rebels and the awesomeness that is Star Wars Rebels, the best Star Wars ever that has ever existed since the beginning of time. We're here to talk about something almost as cool, The High Republic, Phase 2, comics. 10 issues, Balance of the Force, and Battle for the Force, if you just pick up like the two, you know, collected editions. I'm going to give a quick little like synopsis summary about everything, and then we'll just talk about things we liked, things that were cool. It's by Kevin Scott. The art kind of goes everywhere, but Ario Anandito is back. Andre Brocardo and David Messina do a couple of issues. I've been a big fan of Anandito since like Phase 1 art. Like, he's one of my favorite Star Wars comic artists. So, and Kevin Scott again is doing
a master
cool Kevin Scott things. All right. So real quick, here's how it goes. Spoilers. Jedi Master Vildar Mack arrives on Jeddah, meets Padawan, a very talkative Padawan, Mathea Kathley, they call her Maddie, to investigate the theft of Force relics on Jeddah. And so like the whole comic book basically takes place on Jeddah. Like at this time there's the convocation of the Force and like all of the different kind of Force, I mean, I don't want to call them Force cults, but like different Force religions, tribes, whatever you want to call them, like not just the Jedi, the Guardians of the Wills, the, you know, the
sorcerers of Tund,
the Falanasi, and more that I didn't write down.
It was too many for me, but
yeah, there was a lot.
There were some cool tie-ins.
And a few of them were kind of callbacks. Like, the Falanasi.
The little flies.
Oh, yeah, those were from, like, Charles Soule comics.
Yeah.
But in the Falanasi are, like, from Legends days. Like, that was supposed to be, like, one of the very first books that, like, touched on Luke's mother that later had to be retconned to not be Luke's mother was, like, a Falanasi person, you know? They were like, oh, your mother was a Falanasi. This is different. They're not Jedi, but they're so strong in the Force. And then episode one came out and they were like, never mind, it wasn't even really your mom. It was your mom's friend or something. You know.
Surprise.
Because that's how things happened back then. You know. Oh, well, Boba Fett actually learned to be somebody on Concord Dawn. Oh, actually, Boba Fett's a clone of Jango Fett who was like started the Clone Wars. It was actually Jango Fett's friend who is from Concord Dawn. It's fine. So, like, they actually confused them because they look so much alike. It's a whole thing. And
amazing.
The Path of the Open Hand is on Jeddah, making their presence known. People are bad-mouthing Jedi. Like, Vildar Mack is unused to the lack of respect that he gets in the streets. And he ends up chasing down a thief, a selfie thief, that, like, hits him with a Dim Mak death punch move and kills him for like two pages. Then he comes back, which is like hilarious. And then it turns out that thief is a former guardian of the wills who left the guardians because they were jerks, kind of. Like, he was trying to help these people that were, like, on the streets, and the guardians were like, no, we're supposed to guard the temple.
It's not even just help people, or I guess this isn't really spoilery.
Well, we're spoiling it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's not even just help people. It's help prevent mass children murder.
Yeah.
Like, it's a...
It's like
it's pretty yeah. crazy.
It's like these little kids that are scamming people that you know, like very like to compare it to something you've seen in a movie, probably like something like Solo. All these kids live treated badly by the person in charge. In this case, the person in charge is some big alien with a head full of water, a head tank in a water thing. I forgot the name of it. But there are these kids scamming, stealing, pickpocketing. He chases them down and like loses them. And then eventually the, like, kids, like, I guess the crime thing almost gets found out. So, like, the master crime head guy beats the kids or something, like, so that they're almost dead to slow down the people chasing him. And so he wants to save the kids, and they're like, we don't, you know, the other guardians are like, no, this has nothing to do with the temple. Our jurisdiction is the temple. And he's like, dude, you guys suck. And to be fair, they suck.
Yeah.
That is
I mean, I took it that the kids were dead. And also the gangster dude, his name, I hope this isn't a typo. I think his name is Wozo. What?
Yeah, I like... think that's it. Yeah, that sounds right to me. Very Star Wars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was kind of a bummer to see how awful the Guardians of the Wills were. Because they're like, no, we don't care about the temple. Okay. Bye. Those kids.
I've been so fascinated with the Guardians of the Wills since, you know, Rogue One. But I'm like, you know, everything you read about Rogue One, like there is nothing, you know, there's nothing to guard anymore. So they just cause trouble, you know, or whatever. And I've read the Guardians of the Wills books. And anytime the Guardians pop up, I'm like, oh, cool, Guardians of the Wills. They pop up in like there's a comic series called Galaxy's Edge. Where it's like Doc Ondar doing heists, and like there's one part where they go to the Guardian, like they heist the temple and they steal an artifact or whatever for Doc Ondar. And I'm like, okay, the Guardians of the Wills, here's something. And again, I don't really know what's happening, and I don't really know what they do. And like now we have the Battle of Jedha, who they're a big part of, this comic series. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they're collectors. Like that's all they do. All the Jedi artifacts, Force artifact gets put in this temple, and they just guard it.
It's just a bunch of Jocasta news.
That's literally that's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, and they're a lot different, too, just like the Jedi were different back then. They're a lot more flashy. I wrote a really bad pun in my notes.
Okay. Well, you can't just serve it up like that. Come on.
I know. About how everyone's having issues with the Guardians of the Wills being unwilling to accept things. Get it?
Well done. Well done.
I even wrote LOL next
to just so we know. Now we got it. Perfect.
Yep. There you go.
And it's like, it's so, like, they're almost, the Guardians of the Wills of this time are like pretty much as bad as the Jedi of the prequel era. It's like all the we guard the temple and that's it. Like, and it's like just so whack.
There aren't any artifacts missing.
Yeah.
Yes, huh? Go look there. One? Oh, there's an artifact that is missing. No artifact. Yeah.
I bet that guy stole it. The guy who told you it was stolen? That sounds right.
Yep. Clearly.
Meanwhile, we also have Olivia Zevaron and Matea Cathley's master, Master Liban, who are...
Cat lady.
Yes. I forgot. There's a species. Oh, they're starts with an S. I promise I'm really good at trivia if it's slow.
I kind of wonder if...
Salonian.
She was based off of... I don't know if you watch Doctor Who, but this has come up in my head a lot recently. Mm-hmm. There's an episode called New New York or something. That's where it's set. And they're all these like nurses in a hospital and they're all cat people. They look just like Levon. So I'm like, oh, cause you know, like Boss is a Doctor Who outfit, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the spacesuit or whatever.
Yeah, like what if it's a callback? That'd be cool. Probably not.
Could be.
Tinfoil hat reaching. Yeah.
Hey, somebody with an answer, get out to us. You know, back there on the interwebs or wherever, you know. Hit me on Blue Sky.
Whovians unite.
Wherever you are. Wherever we all end up when the world burns down. The interworld. let's see. So, like, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Like, once the Herald gets there, he tries to go into the Convocation of the Force and demand that the Path should get a seat at the table, too. But also, everybody needs to stop using the Force because the Path believes that the Force shouldn't be used. And they're like, no. And then he's like, see? See how unfair everyone is. We are laughed and, like, not allowed to be a part of this thing. And then starts the riot. But part of him starting the riot, which, like, if you follow Battle of Jeddah, you have, like, oh, there's a riot in the streets because stuff is going crazy. And he makes the speech. But here you get a little more context. He's making the speech, and they're bringing out the nameless, the creature, which is, like, setting off the Force users. And that's, like, the Force users start attacking the people. And then riot.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, and what I think is super interesting about Phase 2 in general is the amount of content that is required, and the ordering is important as well. Like for Phase 1, I realized that I didn't finish either comic run because I got distracted, but I didn't feel like they were super necessary to the story and you know, understanding all the audio drama and the adult and YA books. Right. But I mean, I think everything Phase 2 is required, really.
It's like they all add to the context of whatever the bigger thing is. Like there's only three things. There's the, you know, the whatever happens in Convergence. Yeah, well, or there's basically the death of the Jedi in Path of Deceit, Convergence. Then, like, the Battle of Jeddah, and then the Battle of Dalna. And most of this comic basically takes place all during the Battle of Jeddah. But, if you just listen to the Battle of Jeddah audiobook, you're like, oh, like, they broke down the peace talks. And, like, that's it. But then if you read this, you're like, oh, they were breaking down the peace talks. And also, they were trying to steal Force artifacts, you know.
Yeah.
And test their weapons against the Jedi. And then if you read, you know, Path of Vengeance, you're like, oh, and this is what the mother and her were doing while all this happened. You know, like you get specifically like more context for like specific characters, you know. So I like that's how I feel it intertwines a little bit more. Like, and I guess the events, there's so few events, like everything happens in like three or four places.
Right. And I mean, it's interesting too, because I started reading this whole comic run right when I think I had started Path of Vengeance, and I wasn't very far along. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to read the comics. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where all these people are from. And then what I appreciated about this comic as well, there's that one screen when there's chaos in the street, or screen's not the right word, but I use my iPad to read these things. Panel. Yes. Thank you. There's the one panel where it's like the mother and then Olivia. Yeah. And I texted Laura. I'm like, Laura, there's something up with this. Like,
nice.
OMG, it must be her mom or something. Da 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 da. And I guess on the High Republic show, they had revealed that Olivia and the mother have the same last name or something.
I never caught that.
Like that?
Like, they revealed the Zeveron part for the Olivia. No, yes, Olivia. But I still, like, I was reading things as they were coming out. And I kept saying, because, like, there were certain parts where they would be like, you know, like the Herald would be like, oh, come on, Alessia, or whatever. And they would say her first name a lot, but, you know, maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Like, I did watch all those shows, but I didn't catch it. And I know people were saying that it was released somewhere, but I don't know where it was.
Yeah, I don't either. But I was glad that I had seen that in the comic, because otherwise, I think otherwise in Path of Vengeance, it maybe would have felt too abrupt.
Gotcha.
You know? So like, reading this, it was already in my head, like, oh, there's something weird there. They're both really pretty and have pretty hair, like, and they have pretty names. Like, I think there's a little something.
Yeah.
Some sort of 23andMe going on.
I got that panel and I remember going like, I'm sorry, what has happened? Like, and I remember being like, okay, something's up with this. This is like important. But I couldn't figure out what it was until I read the book and it was like, oh, but it was good that I read it in order. Because then when I got to the book part, I was like, yeah, that's right. She did see her. And then it was also during like all the chaos stuff. So there's like so much going on that I couldn't like really like figure it out. So basically like this is kind of during the riot is happening. And there's a point where like Olivia, Jedi, Olivia Zevron comes to town. Like the mother's walking away from the square or the riot and she sees her. And there's like an image of her playing when she's a little kid. And I thought she was having, and it looks like she's having a flashback and she kind of freaks out. And then everybody's like, are you okay? What's going on? And then she's like, never mind. We have to get to the statue. Or whatever, but like something's going on, and I thought like I saw her see her, and then I saw her have the flashback, but I couldn't tell. Like I was like, oh, it's because like the nameless thing, they're all freaking out, and for some reason she's freaking out about a bit being a baby. Like I didn't put it together all the way until the reveal that happens in the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally caught that and was like, dude, that's rad. And then like it feels really good when you go back to it now and you're like, ah, yeah. So riot, the like the almshouse that the path is kind of set up in gets blown up at one point. The temple of the whales gets blown up. Vilda, but like they keep blaming this former guardian, the thief, Tay Sirek, who's this very like thiefy.
He just wants a hug, man.
Kind of guy, yeah. Like, and he wants to be Vildar's best friend, and Vildar is like the gruff, I'm a Jedi guy, and like I don't hug. You know, good times. But it's like really funny, like the way that like those three characters, Matea, Vildar, and Tay, all play off each other really, really well. And everybody keeps calling Tay like a piece of crap. They're like, oh, that was that former guardian. He sucks. That's why he's whack. And they're like, well, he seems to be the one who knows that you guys got robbed. Boy, because he probably robbed us. But he's the why would he tell you that you know? And then when the almshouse gets blown up. He's like under Vildar Mack is like under with the survivors, which is like Path of the Open Hand people who are like, no, not supposed to use the force. And like one of them, you know, the other ones are like, thank you so much for saving us. Do you think you can save us? And like while he's struggling, well, maybe I can like try to climb out. Like, and they kind of
you can do it. You can save us. Like, right.
Oh,
it's just like, what are you kidding? It's all like the life of Brian out there. You know, it's just all the random people like, oh, we must follow this and follow that.
Yeah. There's so much of the like, you know, well, yeah, they're talking a bunch of crap. Why is it? And there's one of the lines that I like from the audiobook that I did a few times. The Herald makes his speech. Well, they are lying to you about the da 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 da. They are not trying to tell you what happened at the Temple of the Wills or whatever. And then there's like two voices that are like, yeah, we deserve to know or something. The lines are in the comic. So when I got to the comic, I was like, oh, that's exactly, yeah. Like, I can hear it in my head from the audiobook because I, like, already heard it in the audiobook. So I thought that was really, really funny. I don't know why, but it's a little thing.
It's so clever how everything is tied in. Yeah. I love it so much. And like, phase two is so small and, like, it's extra tight-knit.
Yeah. Laura was saying that the thing that she ended up really liking about phase two is that, like, whenever she decides she wants to go back to it, it'll be a lot easier to get through. Whereas like, if I was like, oh, I should go through phase one, 15 books, like two or three comic series.
Yeah.
It's a lot like bigger and grander, but, you know, I don't know. Like there's some cool stuff. So they go, the Guardians of the Wills help dig them out. They're trying to help the people that are hurt. So they try to hole up in Enlightenment, which is this bar that everybody's allowed in. The guy's not very happy that everybody's trying to hide out in his bar, but he also has like energy shields on the bar. They escape down a little tunnel where they go to the guardian, the last guardian, which is the like statue that's on the ground in Rogue One. But at this time, it's like the last statue standing. The statue gets blown up. And like Zevron and the other master, the cat master, are there, Liban, and they're like Liban is like, we have to guard this. And she's like, why? Like, it's blown up. Like, who cares? Like, but what turns out, inside the statue is a secret vault of all these, like, dark side relics. And they blew up the statue because here come the Herald and everybody with their nameless creatures to, like, try to find that rod that they're looking for, the Rod of Seasons or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I like that we got to see Yana Rowe in this a lot. I love her character, and like, I'm sad that I'm guessing we won't see her again. Maybe in those what are they called, Twilight stories or whatever that's coming out in
Tales
September.
Of Light
maybe,
and Life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe in maybe she'll have a story in that. I liked her so much, and it's really cool in this because she's kind of like anti all of the anti being extra, as the kids would maybe abbreviate.
Yeah. She's nowadays. Subdued awesome.
Yeah, there
mm-hmm.
we go.
There you go. Yeah. She's not. Love she it. Doesn't. She doesn't care about her blue sky invite. She's just like, nah, I don't need it. Yeah, she's really. I like the character a lot, and like especially catching up in like where her stuff goes in Path of Vengeance. Like, that's mm-hmm. something I really, really enjoyed. And also her presence in this comic is really rad. Zevron gets stabbed by a stolen lightsaber from the Herald. Vildar and Tay make their way through secret underground tunnels to the statue where they confront the Herald. But of course, the Nameless makes Vildar useless. So Tay doesn't know what to do. And so he starts going through the things and he takes out this, like, the glove of something something and starts like using dark side energy to like destroy all these guys.
And then, called the Hand of Sybaris,
I don't
something.
Know and then like he kills the creature, and I think when he kills the creature that's when Vildar Mack is able to like wake up and come back to him, and then like Tay gets shot or something, so it looks like Tay is gonna die. So then Vildar Mack takes the stupid glove, and he's like, you know, like the panel's rad. He's like, to hell with the Force, because there's like he's all creeped out or whatever.
Oh yeah, and, he went full Thanos.
Yeah, so he goes full Thanos on the Herald. the Herald lives. Yana escapes. They get the rod back. They get their thing back, and. That's kind of like the comic book ends where they're like, they catch the Herald. So like these are the people that caught the Herald. When in all the other books, when you're reading like, oh, the Herald's arrested, it was these fools and their stupid glove that like put that fool down. And I also thought earlier you see this guy, like it's at the end of one, like when the raiders come like to steal the stuff, there's this like badass armored person. That's the Herald, like, because later he's fighting without a mask, and you're like, oh, that's his arm. Because I kept being like, where's that guy? What happened to him? And then I'm like,
yeah,
oh, that
was
him.
Yeah, I was wondering that, too.
That was him with a helmet on. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. We also found, in, like, Vildar Max SmackDown, one of the people with him was Shay, or with Yana was Shay.
Shay Ganundra.
Who may or may not have the baby Santeca.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what I'm still trying. I mean, that connects to Vengeance stuff, but like there's another comic series that is, it's called The Nameless Terror. It's a little four issues. And it, you know, in Path of Vengeance, when they're escaping Planet X and like there's two ships left and like, her husband, lover, boyfriend, whatever, is in the other one. And, like, you think it gets destroyed. It doesn't get destroyed. The comic is about what happens to that ship. So, like, basically, like, remember, they're, like, all kind of trying to jump to hyperspace and they can't quite get it.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It jumps to hyperspace and it crashes somewhere. And there's a whole comic series about it. But
I've got to look that up.
It's pretty rad. The art is amazing. And, like, look, I don't even, like, the Dark Horse little minis. It's that one and The Quest of the Jedi. It's like a one shot, but the way they do their little minis, I don't know, like it's like a high quality little cover. It's a little bit thicker. The pages are nice and shiny. Dark Horse is like making me feel fancy when I'm reading my, you know, like our green room, Alice, they spare no expense.
Ah, okay. Got it. Everything's monogrammed.
Yeah. There you go.
Monogrammed, yeah. Embossed.
I mean,
gold plated.
I think I'm still going to get the collected editions once it comes out. It looks better on my shelf, but these little issues 1 through 4 feel nice and fancy with the thick covers.
Oh, amazing. Paper and stuff. I am going to check those out. Yeah.
And that's, I can't remember the Shaganundra. I forgot the guy's name, but he, you know, it starts with a G, I think. Like the father of the potential Mari is in that comic. But my main thing is after that whole reveal in Path of Vengeance, which one of those people is a Santeca? Like, is it supposed to be her? Because she's the one who's like, oh, it's a family name. Like, but at no point do they ever say she's a Santeca. They never say anything about that dude being a Santeca. They're like both members of the Path who are just, you know, raiders or whatever for the, you know, doing the thieving and the kind of things that they're doing. So like,
yeah, and that could be a really cool story, but I'm like, when would we get that if we're hopping back 150 years towards the future? Like we're just never gonna know.
I kept waiting for it to kind of pop up, like that connection. There's also another book, Quest for Planet X, and mm-hmm. at one point there's a character in that book who is like the brother of one of the main characters, because the characters, their name is Skygraph, so they're the Graph family, right? And then the brother, mm-hmm. I forgot the name of the brother, but Sky keeps talking about, well, okay, my brother's like dating a Santeca. So I kept waiting for that to be like the connection. Oh, is this like how we're going to connect to like the Santecas and Mari? Because I was like waiting for that thread to unfold. But no, it's these weird people over here in the Path who all of a sudden is like, I'm going to name my baby Mari. Who are you? Who do you know? Are you a Santeca? Are you a secret Santeca? Like, how does this?
Wow.
Like, you came out of nowhere. But anyway.
Yeah.
And the end of the comic is that, like, hey, we arrested this guy, and don't worry, we're all going to help rebuild Jeddah. And, like, the guy gets a hug from Vildar Mac.
That Tay was so Vildar cute. That's how I ended my notes.
It was
like,
very cute.
Asterisks, hugs, asterisks. Yeah.
Or what? No, that's what it is. What does he say? He's like, hey, we need somebody on the convocation, like, you know, he's like, well, what do you mean? Like, that stuffy people, they don't listen to anybody. And he's like, well, I think you should be on that. What? I'm not even a guardian anymore. You know, you need to, like, tell those stuffy people how it is on the streets or whatever. Me? You know. And then he gets a hug.
Yeah, we need a non-force dude. Yeah. It should be you.
We need somebody who knows what's going on and, like, helps little kids when they're getting beat to death on the streets or whatever's happening over there.
Yeah, by dude's name Wozo.
Wozo. Like... Wozo. Weird little baby elephants, like, who remind me of things from Zootopia or whatever that movie is. The comic series is super cool, super rad. The art's great. Like I said, it mostly sticks on Jeddah. I like the characters a lot. Like, especially the way they play off. Vildar is very much like the stoic. Oh, and he also has like this weird past, how like this... somebody came and like killed his whole village, and they were like somebody who turned evil from the Sorcerers of Tund. So when he sees the Sorcerers of Tund now in the same kind of clothes, he like freaks out, like, and tries to kill him. And that's like, it flashes back to when he was a little kid and all this. Like,
yeah, I thought he was really interesting. What's the species?
He's a Kefar.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Just like Voss.
Quinlan Voss.
Just like my boy.
And then also, I was reading that among them, I guess the psychometry is really common. And Wikipedia could have just said it was common, because now we have two.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, what if Cal Kestis was somehow, you know, like, I just started going down this complete rabbit hole in my brain.
He just develops a stripe on his face.
Yep. Yep. Or he never. Yeah. It just never grew in, you know?
It never grew in. No, that's how he hid. He was like, oh, I got to scrub it off to be like a Jedi or whatever. He actually, Vildar Mac uses it in the comics. There's one part where, like, I think he's at Enlightenment at the bar, and Tay escapes. And he sort of like walks down the street and feels the wall. He's like, where did he go?
It's when when he wakes up from dying. Dying. He's like, where is that guy? I hate him. And Maddie's all like, yo, take it easy. You know, you're like groggy and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they're like healing him with force plants and stuff.
Oh gosh, that was hilarious. Yeah. And then, so another tinfoil hat thing, the force plant poison ivy lady. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, was she somehow related to the Drangir?
Okay.
You know, like what if somehow like plants, plant lady, you know?
Yeah, fair. I don't.
I just, my brain was like, oh, but what about this? And
yeah.
What about that?
I forgot what those people were called. And there's another like good part. It's like, I think it's the end of like the first issue. And there's just like a little part where I think it's like Zevaron, like, okay, what's going on with the convocation? And somebody else is like, we are wish to join the convocation. You know, and they're like, no, Darksiders here. And they like treat her like crap. And then she's like, you know what? I don't need to be here. Like,
goodbye.
And like the Jedi gets there and they're like, look, you guys keep calling her dark side and mean and angry and like a killer, but you guys all have your weapons out. You know? And she's like, yeah, request withdrawn, and like leaves.
One of my favorite things in the bar Enlightenment, well, that Kraydon guy who runs it, I can't get his voice out of my head from that audiobook. Jedha.
Yeah.
It's so jarring, and you're just like, what? So that's always in my head every time I see him, like, Kraydon. Like, but anyway, when they first walk in, and it's like, oh, those are the Twinkle sisters, like, Neil and whatever. And you're like, what? Like, they have the most feminine names, and it's like the cutesy little names, the Twinkle Sisters, and they're these big, like hulking.
Yeah, they're like the bodyguards, things. And they're these giant, like purple, whatever bodyguards.
That cracked me up.
Yeah, that was
just
perfect.
So jarring.
See, I think I saw them in the comic first, or I saw a sketch of them or something, because I think I watched like, you know, like there was like a celebration, like live stream or something, and that I watched.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was like, oh, these are the Twinkle Sisters. So like when I heard the thing, I was like, oh, that's hilarious. You know.
It was amazing. But I mean, overall, just when I'm going through my notes on this, the you know, there's so much action going on, and some of the issues are pretty much just pure action, but there's so much back and forth, and not too much. Like there's really only two or three spaces they're in at any given time, but it is just go. It flies by.
And like I said, like it all takes place. This is pretty much the Battle of Jedha, like from the get-go. Like it starts with the, you know, things start to kick off with the riot, and then it goes all the way to arresting the Herald. Which, like, if you're like reading the other stuff, then you're getting so much more on the other side. You're getting like, you know, like we never saw the mother in. Oh yeah, I guess we did in one panel. We didn't see Marta. We did see the almshouse, and like when the almshouse got blown up, but we didn't see like them escaping. Like we only saw like the people that they were trying, and then also when they went to go stop the Herald who was stealing the rod. So it was like in the bigger picture stuff, it was really about like the artifact and all that kind of thing, which was actually like pretty rad. And like I said, just the characters are like super fun, and like Tay is like this weird, you know, like very like funny English dude energy, like very
he's
jokey,
just like a
elvish
like an elf. Yes, exactly.
Full elvish energy thief guy.
Yeah, and then we also get the little hint at the end of the archivist or the guardian, I forgot who it was, who's helping the path. You know, like helps the Herald escape and gets them whatever artifacts. Right. So I think we see him in the background, unless he's one of the named guys, and I just don't remember because I've got so much going on in my brain.
I gotta like remember the name now, because like he's named in the book, and now I'm like, and they call him by a species in the book too, and so I gotta go back and be like, okay, what's the species looks like? Because I think they were like, he looked like a bird, and if that's who it is, then he's that big bird guy. I'm gonna be like, hold up the comic, that's him right there, this is him, this is the guy, he was being a jerk to Tay too, got him, don't trust that guy.
But I mean, it was also just so good. I mean, I really think that everyone should read these before reading Path of Vengeance.
Yeah, for sure. It fills
like
in a
absolutely
lot of
required.
Stuff.
Yeah. Especially Maddie and Olivia. I wouldn't feel the same way about them in the book if I hadn't read these.
Yeah. I actually talked with Laura about Path of Vengeance. And I think, like, because she didn't read these comics, I think she was a little less connected to that character, specifically Maddie and Zevaron. Because she was like, oh, like, we didn't really know it. And I was trying to explain. I was like, well, Maddie's like a main character in the comics. So you do get to know her quite a bit. And Zevaron is like, she's not like a main character, but she's in it a little, you know, you get, she enough. Gets, you know, enough to understand what's happening. And then that one panel.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I think the strength, like, you do get a lot more if you hit everything. But if you're really focused on specific characters, you can, like, you know, you could just probably do, you know, Path of Deceit, this, and then Path of Vengeance. If you're, like, want the Yana story or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And I would throw Battle Jetta in there for good measure.
Yeah, you could get that. But I feel like you get those same scenes, but like with a little more context in Path of Vengeance. It's like all the Yana stuff, like most of that's covered over there, except for
the little girl. Yeah, but like Creighton and Ada.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah. Things hit a little different, but yeah. God, it was so sad seeing that statue get blown down. I love big statues. I just rewatched Lord of the Rings, and there's like all of those, you know, scenes where it's like the kings or elf kings of old, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God, you can't go wrong with a big statue of something like,
yeah,
like a big stoic guardian type statue. Yeah.
I just remember seeing that in like Rogue One and being like, rad. And then like, now that they were like, we're going to, you know, they at the panel, I think they were like the Battle of Jeddah. And you're like, oh, crap, that's pretty cool. Then they incorporated the statue into the story. That's pretty rad. And also, I've been hanging out on Jedi recently because I'm playing Jedi Survivor.
So there's like
a lot of cool little, you know, which also has some High Republic touchstones. So I'm enjoying Jedi right now. You know, and I'm very, very happy that like, I feel like I finally understand the Guardians of the Wills. I don't like them very much. They're pretty good fighters, though. Sure, it's cool.
Oh, yeah, they were great in Rogue One.
Everybody
can't
else
just,
is kind of
can't
a jerk.
We just keep them like that forever?
You need people like Tay. You guys kicked him out. That's on you. That's your fault.
They're okay with child slaughter.
Yeah,
no big deal.
What, they didn't steal anything? It's fine. Those they are literally cops that protect property. That's what the Guardians of the Wills are. That's why I don't like them.
They're just like museum guards.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
but they could probably
guards,
actually catch
if people
you
were
if
getting shot
you.
In front of the museum, and they were like, just lock the door. Like, that's whack. All right. I mean, let's just talk. Like, you did phase two. Like, how are you? How's like we're getting ready to go into phase three. Are you like excited to get back to? Like, I say back to, but it's like, you know, the people that we kind of first fell in. Yeah, there you go. That. Let's go with that. That's better than what I was going to say.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. I think I'm not an audiobook person because I like to eye read. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to audiobook the adult novels from phase one so that I can kind of get a little bit more of a detailed recap. Okay. There's just so much with phase two. It was just picking up. It was really growing on me because the adult books, I wasn't super sold on the first one. It read, very YA to me.
Yeah. And I can see that. It was very romantic heavy that I didn't expect.
Yeah. Yeah. And the characters were young and yeah, like characters are young and that's what young adult typically is.
Fair.
So I wasn't totally sold on it. It was good. I really enjoyed it. But then the second one, I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And then after, you know, between this comic run and the Path of Vengeance, I'm just like, no, I need more. Like, we have all those questions about Yana and like, what happens in between,
exactly.
You know, that 150 year gap between phase two and phases 1/3. Like, right. There's so much up for like debate and left to the imagination that I would read if they wrote books on it. So,
thought like phase 2's over. Like, it's pretty much done, right? So I thought we were going to be like, we do have some of these connections, but I thought they were going to be a little clearer or more of them or different ones. Mm-hmm. Like, I still couldn't, I mean, we've talked about this already, spoilers if you haven't read phase two stuff. Like, I still don't know which one of these Rose is related to Rose that we know in phase two. I'm sorry, phase 1/3. I still don't know what is going on with Mari and which, if her mother or father is a Santeca, and does it even matter at this point? I'm not sure.
Or was baby adopted at Naboo orphanage?
There you go. Like,
or that.
The thing that even like trips me out more, because it's almost like, I guess it kind of doesn't matter like whether Marta or Yana is the predecessor to Marcion, right? But then like within that, like Marta has the gaze electric, but Yana has the rod. Like, so what, like it's still like, even though I don't know, he inherits things from both of these people that I still don't have a clear answer over. Like, do you know, like, both of them? Is that like, is one your great aunt, or how does that? I need the Roe family tree, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? Phase 3 is really long. Like, it's gonna go, run like 2 years or something.
I think so.
Maybe there will be a bunch of like short stories that will kind of fill some of that in for us.
Yeah. They like, there's one coming up pretty soon, the Tales from Light and Life that we talked about a little bit earlier. I think it drops in September, which is only a month and a half away, but I believe they said that there's going to be stories in there from phase 1 and 2, and maybe like leading into 3. I'm not sure. But
yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah. They've also said that I think phase 3 is running a little bit longer, but they're like spacing the releases out. So it's not going to be so, cause like typically it's been like, all right, like, you know, wave 1, and it's like 3 books that we all have to read at the same, you know, like Light of the Jedi, plus, you know, what came out, Into the Dark, plus, you know, like 3 books that we have to read, and then the comics are dropping in the same day. So I think they're like spacing it out a little more deliberately, so we'll actually have time. We won't be doing 3 books at the same time, in theory.
Yeah, that's fair, because when they all came out at the same time, I mean, I even read the first phase 1, the first middle reader one where we met Fenestra. I loved it. It was so good, but I don't think I finished the other ones. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot. I look forward to it though every single time. And I get sad when it's been a while.
Yeah, right. And I think if they do that like right, and they do like what I'm thinking, I think it'll also give us more time to like maybe dig into those things that we wouldn't normally. Like, you're like, oh, well, I skipped like a couple of the middles because they probably came out the same time as the adult ones or whatever. You know, maybe if there's nothing for a couple of months and they drop one of those middle ones, you might be like, I can knock this out in a couple hours. You know, it's got 3 pictures in there. Race to Crash Point Tower is like one of those middle grade ones that I was just like, oh, this book is just bananas and wonderful. Because like I usually like go through everything.
But, I know I at least started it. I don't remember if I finished it, but had that. Is it Ram or Ram? Yeah,
Ram Jamaram.
Jamaram. Yeah.
The it's best Jedi twister. Name ever. Like, good times. I don't know. Like, phase 2, like, you were talking about how, like you said, you didn't love, Convergence. I like Convergence a lot. And it was also, like, in a weird way, a little more romancy than I guess I thought it was going to be. And, like, they had dropped hints about, like, well, like, she's a Jedi and he's a spoiled senator's son or whatever. Like, so I knew there was going to be, like, elements, but I didn't expect to really love Fontu and Ziri the way that, like all 4 of those characters, I really, really enjoyed and missed until we caught up with them again in Cataclysm. Who almost did it.
Yeah,
I almost said Catalyst.
They all grew on me.
I almost did it. We almost got through a podcast without me saying it, though. But I'll say this for phase 2. I feel like it starts off slow, but it finishes so strong. Like everything that came out in the last thing, like the comic lines ended strong. The book, like the two final books, Path of Vengeance and Cataclysm, super strong. I really like Daniel Jose Elders. If you listen to other podcasts, you will hear me and my man crush on him. the Young Jedi Adventures, or sorry, the High Republic Adventures. This,
yes.
His phase two, it's all about Padawan Sav Maligan, which probably means nothing if you didn't read phase one.
No, I haven't.
But basically,
so I read phase, okay, I didn't finish either of the phase one comic runs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. But when I was reading them, and I read a bunch of them, when I was reading them, I liked the High Republic Adventures much more than like the adult run.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I loved the first, like phase one. There is like one of the things that really sticks with me from there. I don't know if you got this far into it, but there's a couple of issues where they go to Nal Hutta and like they're trying to deal with the Hutts, like to get their help with the Drengir or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like it's like this weird thing where it's like two Padawans and a master. But the master is this weird species that lives for 1,000 years and he like hibernates for weeks or months at a time. And so like he goes to sleep on the way. So they land and the master's asleep and they're like, what do we do? Well, I guess you just go and like do the thing. Like, and they end up going and like fighting with the Hutts and getting captured. And there's a part where this dude, he's like a, what is he? He's Nigerian, I think, like the in from the Clone Wars. Like, so he's almost like a cat person a little bit, but a little different. And he's like in his little prison and he's like thinking back on what his master, and his master is like that tentacle, that mushroom guy species with lots of tentacles.
Yeah, yeah.
So I forgot the name of the master, but he's like, oh, you know, he's like, you might wonder why I have so many lightsabers. And Farzala, his Padawan, is like, well, because you got like tentacles. So I figure you got like one, you know, you can hold a lot of lightsabers. That makes sense. And he's like, no, you know, each of these lightsabers is like in honor of my Padawans who have passed on, you know. And his Padawan is like, oh, that's depressing and like not great. And he's like, no, it's not like, you know, like I don't like, obviously, like they had, like I live for so long that I see people become, like they grow, they realize their full potential, they live a life, and then they're gone. He's like, and I have to really like keep those things with me because I live so much longer than you guys. So I don't get sad when people pass on. I'm really happy that I was able to experience them throughout their life. Like, and he gives this weird explanation about like, you know, and now they're part of the Force, and like the Force is my ally in all things. So every time I use the Force, it's like, and I have their life, like, it's like they're with me all the time. And how can that make me sad? You know, because you shouldn't fear death. We're all going to die. But it's like how you connect with the Force and trust in it that, like, that our lives mean something. It's like this really dope speech, and the art is amazing. And, like, you know, the Padawan's locked up in his thing, and it's like that where he gets to, like, use the Force and break himself out and, like, you know, he finds inspiration in this weird story about his master and his lightsabers from 8 dead people. But I love it so much.
I feel like that's kind of where I like dipped off. I don't know what happened, if I just got distracted.
And IDW kept
getting
delayed. So much
time between them. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very upsetting to me.
Yeah, I would just forget.
So in the Phase 2 comics, they follow... there's a girl, her name's Sav Maligan, and she's like an old lady on Takodana at the temple in phase one. Mm-hmm. But like in this one, she's a Padawan, and she thinks being a Jedi is so boring and she just wants to be a pirate. So she like sneaks out of the temple at night and goes and hangs out at Maz's castle.
Amazing.
And like the comic is rad. Like Therm Scissorpunch is in it. Dexter Jetster apparently is like 500 years old because he's in it.
What?
Like, there's a lot happening in that comic, and it's amazing. Like, There's a part that's like an inspiring part about like Therm Scissor Punch having an existential crisis about like trying to live up to the name of Therm Scissor Punch.
Oh my God.
He's like, you have to be awesome, dude. Like, you can't like, am I even worthy to be called Scissor Punch? Like,
oh my God.
It's so good.
That is delightful.
And they end up, of course, on Jeddah. So, right. Like, you know, good times. It's a great comic, but of course I'm very, very biased. I really like the way that DJO writes a lot of this stuff. Like, he has such like a whimsical, like, there's just like a realness and a fun take that he has. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the thing that very first grabbed me in, like, in general, he wrote a short story and from a certain point of view, and it was about the stormtrooper that, like, just really likes Dubaks. And like ends up running away with the Dubak, like,
oh,
but it's like a super
read that one.
You know, because like when you go like I, you know, you 40 stories and I go through it, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. Okay, like three stormtrooper story, you know, like I kind of go through and I'm like, oh, that sounds rad. Oh, okay, another pilot. So that was the one where I was like, oh, okay, it's about a stormtrooper on Mos Eisley, so we'll see how that. But it was so hilarious that I was like, this is funny. And then his like in the High Republic Adventures, like the first issue, he goes like, I think it's when the emergencies are happening, and there's like a guy at a station. He's being like, you know, all clear, all clear, and then he's like, hold up, and just like that kind of dialogue in a comic, Star Wars comic book, speaks to me, because that's like the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, hold up. So he made hold up canon. Like, that's good times. So
he's real.
I respect things like that. You know. But yeah, good times. Phase 2 wrapped up really solid. I'm looking forward to phase 3. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm so happy that we're going to see more of Buriaga.
Yes, I think everyone like breathed a collective sigh of relief.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, like, I'm trying to think of like who I really want to catch up with. And I'm thinking like Keeve. I really like Keeve, but I really like that first comic run as well. Elzar.
I hope we get more Vernestra in the adult and young adult books, because she was mostly in the middle reader and comics, yeah. Right?
Well, she was, I think she like started in the middle readers and then she came out to like, she was everywhere. She was in the comics a little bit, but she came out, she did one of the YA. I think it's into the out of the shadows.
Yeah. And you then, know, I don't think I read, I actually don't think I finished the, whatever one of the last YA books was.
Midnight Horizon.
In phase one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she was. No, she wasn't in that one. Shoot. That was the DJO one. So that had a bunch of the characters from the High Republic Adventures comics. But that was the one that I like. This is the mystery that I keep bringing up to everybody. At the end of that book, Yoda returns. Like, oh. And he's been missing for most of the, and he comes back and like, he says something to the effect of like, you know, to find out, you know, to like figure out, you know, like we need to like look in the past. And then phase 2 starts. And I went into phase 2. He shows up with somebody, and the person is described as like somebody wrapped in bandages and a cloak. Like, no details. And I've been reading all of phase 2 going like, okay, which one of these people is going to end up being the person who comes back with Yoda? And I have two theories. And I guess it all depends on life expectancy. Because it's 150 years later. All right. I mean, you know, do you have any more final thoughts? You got anything else? Any theories?
No, nah, man.
Yeah, good to go.
I'm just excited to see what happens. It sounds like a bunch of stuff might come out at Comic-Con. So yeah. I'm just going to ride the wave, because one thing that I've really backed off from doing too much like theory Googling and spoiler Googling.
Gotcha.
Along for the ride.
Fair. That's good. And this is a good ride to be along for, because, I mean, everything has been amazing so far, and I have the feeling they're building towards something pretty rad.
Can't wait.
So, yeah. All right. I mean, real quick, tell everybody where they can find you online again.
All right, cool. So podcast, Force Toast Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a website, forcetoastpod.com. We're mostly Twitter and Instagram. I am Slaya all day, and my co-host is shutup_Laura.
Rad. You can find us at theroguerebels.com, on all socials at the Rogue Rebels, except Twitter, which is cursed at Rogue Rebels fan. Yeah. Thank you for talking comics with me, Alice.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It was a good time. Hugs all around.
Hugs. We need cool people in there.
The Hug Republic.
Represent the regular folks.
The Hug Republic has spoken for light and life.
Jedi. For control of the Force itself.